thanks everybody. I tend to walk around when I talk, so if you see me moving around, I can't help myself. I wanted to say that I'm sorry I have to leave you all at 3. I have to go to the airport to catch a flight to Denver, so if you see me, you know, finish talking, answer questions, then scoot out the door, that's where I'm going. But I wanted to come to share with you all our group visit model, our innovative group visit model. And what our group visit model is around is looking at patients with chronic conditions. And there are about 133 Americans living today with chronic conditions. And chronic pain has really been rising to the forefront of chronic conditions in the United States, one of which is because of the opioid epidemic that we're having here in the United States and the public health crisis that we're having around the opioid epidemic. And the latest National Health Interview Survey data released by Dr. Nahan, who did the analysis, shows that there are 26 million people in the United States living with chronic pain. Now, currently, these chronic pain patients are cared for in the primary care setting with the time constraints of the 15-minute visit. And what's emerging in that reduced time is a lot of conflict with the primary care provider and the patient around opioid prescribing and narcotics use. So we were interested in developing models for non-narcotic use. So that search became with the model of a group visit. Now, has anybody here ever heard of a group visit? Okay, fantastic. So some knowledge. But basically what a group visit model does is it takes a group of patients with a similar health condition with social support, and it reduces barriers to behavioral change. And our group visit model is the compilation of integrative medicine techniques such as acupressure and massage, a group medical visit, there is a non-prescriber facilitator and a prescriber facilitator, so a nurse practitioner, a physician assistant, or a primary care provider, and a technique called mindfulness-based stress reduction, which I'll refer to as MBSR. And MBSR is a 9-week model where they teach people mindfulness skills, meditation, body scan. So a typical structure of what our groups look like is 10 to 12 patients, and in this situation, these patients are with chronic pain, but we've had other groups before that have had diabetes or high blood pressure, but this model is really looking at chronic pain patients. Two facilitators, currently an MD and a meditation instructor. At the beginning of every group, borrowing from the work of centering pregnancy, people know a little bit about centering pregnancy, So both myself and my collaborator, Catherine Gergen-Burnett, both trained in the centering model. So when we started our group visits, we were very influenced by the work of Sharon Rising. And the patients take their own vitals. So it's really an empowerment model, bringing back their health. So they do their own blood pressures, their own weights. They rate their pain. They rate their depression. They look at their medications. They ask, what do you want to see the doctor about, and they specify what that is. There's always what we call a clinician talk, about a 5 or 10 minute didactic on a specific health topic. And the patients learn self-management techniques. They learn acupressure points. They learn self-massage. They learn healthy eating techniques, anti-inflammatory diet. We also have a large technology component where we have a Our Whole Lives website, which mirrors the curriculum of what's happening in the group. So they go to group, they learn it in person, and then during the week they're online and they're going onto the website and they're interacting with the website to reinforce. And if you feed them, they will come. So we provide a healthy lunch at every class. At the diet, the menu for that lunch comes from the curriculum. So if we're learning about anti-inflammatory diet, we'll serve some salmon, some anti-inflammatory food. If we're learning about glycemic index and low glycemic index, then the menu comes from that principle. So we're trying to get them to eat what we teach them. So just a visual presentation of health topics, healthy food, taking their own blood pressures, technology, stress management techniques, mind-body techniques. So this picture, I don't think we have a pointer, right? Do we have a pointer? No, no pointer. Okay. So this picture is from our PCORI grant. We're very, very fortunate to have funding from the PCORI. And what I'm showing you now is data from year one in our pilot groups. Okay, so we did six pilot groups before we started our randomized control trial. And of those six pilot groups, we did four focus groups. So the data that I'm showing you is data from our pilot groups. So we basically looked at patients who had participated in IMGV group visit, and we were really lucky that our program at BU has a medical anthropology program. So Lance Laird, our anthropologist, and one of our clinicians were led our focus groups. We paid each patient $25, and we recorded all the focus groups. They were transcribed, and we used NVivo 10 to transcribe them. We then had three coders analyze the four transcripts using a modified grounded theory, because we had priori codes and priori hypotheses that we specifically asked about in terms of what is the group, how does the group run. We generated inductive coding for new topics that emerged during the analysis. And then we used an iterative approach, revised coding definitions until there was agreement on all part of all the coders. So I just wanted you to see a quick snapshot of the patients in our focus groups. I realize the print is very small, I apologize, but let me just let you know that 85% of our focus group participants were women, which is very typical of our groups. Our groups tend to be 75% women. The mean age was 51. 65% of our patients were African American, 25% identified as multiracial, 10 identified as Hispanic. In terms of ethnicity, we had 35% identify as Latino, Latina. And then in terms of education, you can see 45% had some college and 45% had some college graduate. That is very unusual. Our groups tend to have patients of high school equivalently or less. So for some reason, the patients who had higher health education were the ones who volunteered for the focus groups. In terms of status, you can see 15% worked full-time or part-time, 65% were on sick leave and disability, 20% retired, and in terms of assistance, we had 60% on food assistance and 30% on housing assistance. So the most common themes that emerged during our focus groups were dissatisfaction with the past treatment, the past allopathic treatment for chronic pain, experience with the IMGV curriculum and self-management techniques, the importance of being part of a group, and the health changes related to participation in the integrative medicine group visit. So breaking these down by theme, the first thing that emerged is the dissatisfaction with their current allopathic treatment. And you can see that it emerged around prescription medication for chronic pain and comorbid conditions. And you know, basically the patients were feeling very dissatisfied with their prescription medications, mostly narcotics. They didn't feel like the clinicians were addressing the side effects of these narcotics. They felt like that the narcotic was not the right medication, or that they were having too many medications. And they also felt like their PCP visits were really focused more about the prescribing of that medication and not other health issues like their life challenges, having chronic pain, or the side effects. They made comments about past or current providers, like feeling judged in the medical appointments, having shame around medical appointments. And the thing that we put in just a slight comment was is that even though there's this antagonism with their primary care provider around the prescribing, the number one reason why people came to the groups was because their primary care provider recommended it. So some contraindication there. And then they, for in terms of health system, they disliked their dislike for current medical treatment and feeling that there are too many medical appointments. So here's a quote, a couple quotes. "See, I don't like medication. That's going to make me feel loopy, like OxyContin and all that. That's just, and these are the things that they want to give me. And I don't want that type of medication. You know, I had been getting some general information from some doctors, but they don't really treat you with that because they're quick to write the prescription before they'll give you an alternative. You know, and me, I'm looking for an avenues out of the pill scenario. I'm up to 8 as of now, including the insulin." So in terms of experience of the IMGV curriculum and self-management techniques, they really liked the content of what the group visits were offering, especially the nutrition. They liked the simplicity and the clear guidelines around self-management. They liked the interactions with the integrative clinicians, and they felt that their care was personalized and adaptable. And for their self-management techniques that were taught in the group, they felt empowered by their ability to address their pain in the moment. So just a few quotes. "I wanted to feel like I'm playing a part in actively helping myself and learning things. So that's why I'm really excited to learn about all the different things that we do in the study. I didn't see them as medical people. They're just like us, okay? There wasn't judgment. It wasn't like they were giving us a diagnosis or something. It's more or less just general information with concern." So that's a comment about one of our facilitators. Another theme that emerged is the importance of being part of a group. And there's the composition of the group where they didn't feel like they were judged while being in the group because everybody shared an experience of chronic pain. The unique aspects of group care emerged around chronic pain and depression. So in daily life, they felt feelings of being misunderstood by their family and their communities around what it is to be a pain patient, but in the groups, they did not have that barrier. They also talked a lot about, as chronic pain patients, feeling socially isolated. And they often said, you know, I'm not the type of person that goes to a group, okay? I'm not the type of person that goes to a group. They're socially isolated. But when their pain is so bad, now they're starting to engage in something completely new, which is a group visit. And the group setting definitely encourages change. Like, the power of, I feel better because I'm helping someone else, and really feeling like it's important for me to go to the group because my presence needed to help other people feel better. So that was really facilitative. They felt accountable to the other the other participants to show up. The power of the peer. So, see, we have enough information. We just need the connection, the contact with people that's dealing with what we're dealing with. If we do try to hang out with the other people, they see us differently. They see us as being healthy and normal. They can relate. So that's the biggest problem. I can tell, oh yeah, I got a bad back. It looks fine to me. And in my mind, I'm thinking, if I don't go, the group will be short a person. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to talk about was health changes related to the IMGV groups. So we saw emotional changes, like greater autonomy, social changes, improved relationships with family and friends, and physical changes with greater autonomy due to reduced dependence on their prescriptions and fewer medical appointments and having tools to manage their pain. I had fibromyalgia, and I dealt with other things too in other degrees that has caused me a lot of pain. It helped me to learn how I could relax. And since I was in the group, I'm calm, I'm relaxed, I'm not depressed anymore. I'm able to socialize with other people, go out. It's making my life a whole lot better. I'm like, wow, this is really happening. And I felt like I had some control that I felt happy for dealing with this. I felt like a lot of it was out of my, I didn't have control over my body. It's just doing whatever it wants to do. No control over that. I'm stuck taking these medications. No control over that. So basically, from the data that we've collected through our focus groups, we feel like the structure, content, and delivery of the IMG model is appealing to our participants with chronic pain. And so we've moved forward with our randomized controlled trial. So the RCT is a study with 100 and it has 62 patients in each group, so it's 124 patients. Sorry, just had a mind block there. The standard of care is our control, so it's the 15-minute primary care provider. We're doing 7 cohorts at 3 different sites: Boston Medical Center, the Dorchester Community Health Center, and the Cobman Square Community Health Center. And we're currently about halfway through our study. Okay, so from here I'm going to switch to the research of our fellow, Oscar Carrillo. And he is taking the IMGV and translating it into Spanish and is now doing the same group visit models but in Spanish. So just a few background slides about Latinos. It is a very large growing ethnic minority and will reach about 30% in 2050. And there continue to be inequalities in access to healthcare for low-income Spanish-speaking patients. There are currently no studies using complementary alternative medicine group modalities for Latinos with chronic pain. But, there are healthcare disparities in chronic pain in Latino patients, basically because they're receiving less patient education, less specialty referrals, they are not getting access to intensive rehabilitation, there's less opioid prescribing and less back surgery. There is sort of an unknown prevalence about the true use of integrative medicine by Hispanic speaking patients. Currently, this is the National Health Interview Survey from 2005 based on the 2002 to 2007 NHIS data. And you can see here it's 16.9% among Spanish-speaking patients, or those who identify as Spanish. And we wanted to take our group visit model and use it for our Spanish-speaking patients, our Latina patients at Boston Medical Center. So one thing that's wonderful is that Oscar is from Peru himself, so he's really able to take the role as the facilitator of the groups. And his IMGV contains, again, mindfulness-based stress reduction. All the CDs are translated to Spanish, gentle yoga, acupressure, self-massage, and food as medicine. And then he also facilitates conversations about stress, inflammation, sleep, reading labels, and communication. So basically, the models are mirroring each other. We also needed to take that cultural piece and make it innovative. Weave it through the curriculum. So we do have some changes in the recipes that we use, bringing cultural foods like rice and beans and changing the recipes for those. And then we have all of our mindfulness meditations are bringing in Spanish poetry and Spanish mindfulness techniques. So his hypothesis is that it is feasible for the IMGV model to reduce pain and improve function in Spanish-speaking patients. And he's doing a pre-post pilot feasibility study of 30 people. The patients are being recruited from our East Boston Neighborhood Health Center, where 70% of those patients are Spanish speaking, and are our outpatient family medicine clinic at Boston Medical Center. And part of what he's doing is a feasibility study, so he's interested in what is the best time of day, what are the issues around childcare, what are the issues around missing work. Just an example of his flyer. And one of the things that's been very interesting to me is working with him around how do you adapt this, how do you address the cultural values. So one of the rich things that we talked about was, in the manual, do you use tú or usted? Do you make it the formal? Do you make it the informal? How do you translate it? What are the foods? So on our team, we have Oscar, who's from Peru, Carla, who's from Panama, Brian, who's from Cuba. So we have this really rich, diverse group of clinicians. We have a physician from Colombia. So even amongst all of this, all these people can speak Spanish, but yet there's so much diversity in their own cultural terms and their cultural values and how they represent food. So it's not as easy as you think. You think it sounds easy. It's not. It's not. It's very culturally rich, complex. So foods that have different names in countries, some concepts are challenged to be translated. How do you translate mindfulness, right? How do you translate anti-inflammatory? And we also needed to go through our curriculum and really bring in images of Latino and Latina patients. So here's his design. He included Spanish-speaking patients ages greater than 18, pain in the previous 12 weeks. He excluded pregnant patients, patients with health conditions that would prevent them from participating, like suicidal ideation, psychosis, active substance abuse disorder. And he's really looking at the number of referred, screened, enrolled, healthcare utilization, and socio-demographic variables such as age, education, work status. Now, I'm not going to be reporting on his outcome measures because he's currently in group 5, so we have not done the pre-post analysis for the PROMISE 29. But what he's measuring is weekly attendance and descriptive statistics like retention, the means and medians for that, and frequencies. So this is where we are today. He screened 18 patients. He has 11 participants in his group. And you can see this is the attendance. So in the last 4 weeks, he's had 10 patients week 2, 4 patients week 3, 9 patients, and week 4, 5 patients. So this is week 5 this week. And again, the mean age is similar to what we've seen in that it's 51, but basically, 10% of his participants are women. Only one male patient signed up. So it's basically a group of women right now. But you can see they're from the Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Guatemala, Colombia, Puerto Rico, Mexico, and Peru. So even amongst these 10 women, or these 11 participants, there's a wide variety of cultural differences. The mean pain score is 7 out of a 1 to 10 scale, elementary, high school, professional. So you can see that's more representative of what we've had in our group visits. The medication types, 7 patients using Tylenol and NSAIDs, 3 patients using opioids, and that they have had some previous CAM use, like massage, acupuncture, chiropractic, and yoga. So there are a lot of limitations to this study. First of all, this is not a randomized controlled trial. It's just a feasibility study, small sample size. And unlike our IMGV, where we can pay for a healthy meal for patients, we don't have the same financial incentives or food available for Oscar's group. Okay. But, he's going to keep going with his Latino IMGV, because it can improve pain and function. That's our hope. But this model needs to be culturally sensitive. And in terms of how would we make the model sustainable, what we're thinking of doing is taking peers who've gone through the groups and have them be the mentors or co-facilitators. So I just wanted to thank my Pam Adelstein and Christine, who these are all our different group visit facilitators, and of course thank PCORI for the funding. And I think I have a few minutes for questions. Yeah. Like maybe 1 minute?
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Any questions?
You mentioned that you have this PCORI funding. Can you talk about the feasibility of continuing this model without that funding?
Yeah, absolutely. So before we were lucky enough to get this funding from PCORI, we who have been doing it in our family health center. And what happens is that the MD usually sees like 12 patients in every 15 minutes, and then you bill, right? So what we do is before the patients come in, the MD is available and spends one-on-one time with patients before the groups and after the groups. So we still bill for individual visits, okay? So the group visit model and the individual model are making the same amount of RVU, making the same amount of money, because they're seeing the same amount of patients.
And then the RCT is measuring the difference in effectiveness?
Yeah, so basically what the RCT is looking at chronic pain levels, measured by the brief pain inventory, and depression, measured by the PHQ-9. And that's sort of the model of the research study flow. Oh, yes, and I have to say that the group visit model has been around probably since the 1950s. It was very popular after World War II, and there are, if you look around the United States, there are a lot of group medical visits occurring. The NIH funded the Diabetes Prevention Program, which is a very large group visit model. There are group visit models happening in Kaiser Permanente. There are group models happening all around the United States. So I think it's an emerging care model, and with the accountable care organizations coming into play, I think we're going to see a lot more group visits.
Two questions. What is the most common chronic pain you have in this group? And then number two, what are the barriers for scheduling and things like that to connect with people?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. So it's back and neck pain are the most common pain. And in terms of scheduling, so you saw that a lot of our patients are on disability, right? So that allows them to come during the day. We've had group visits in the morning, we've had group visits in the afternoon, and we've had group visits in the evening. So the patients who come in the evening are the patients who are working. So it really, you're right, you get a different cohort of chronic pain patients depending on when you offer the groups. Yes. Is there a question over here?
Would you say a little bit about the environment of the hospital and the safety net?
Yeah, so Boston Medical Center is the largest safety net hospital in New England, and most of our patients are Medicaid, Medicare patients, very racially diverse. Is that?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. I think you need me to stop?
Okay. Everyone, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.